Hi there. Welcome to Cambridge Inside Out, election night special.
I'm Robert Winters. Judy Nathans. Yeah, we don't have a big board or John King telling us anything.
That's right. You know, so, and in fact, you know, normally on a election night, I'd be doing the election night broadcast, and it's not even clear I'll be doing any of that tonight. So I might be out having a beer or two with a candidate or something.
God, it was
party
2 years ago. Yeah.
2 years ago,
we were seniors. I think I was there too.
Well, you know, I'm sort of, you do grow acclimated to it. It's sort of like, I was mentioning something earlier today. You know, if you've been involved in elections and election day things for as long as I have, everything you do sort of reminds you of other things before. I was putting on a sweatshirt and immediately I thought of Bob Richards, who was a regular at the corner down in Ward 6, you know, my own precinct. He would always be there with a sign, you know, pushing some candidates. He was very politically involved.
Dane,
by the way, he's the uncle of candidate Joe McGurk this time around.
But he's not with us anymore. I think he's gone.
Yeah. No, he passed away. But I was feeling kind of nostalgic because
I didn't realize
being early November, sometimes we get cold. And there I am putting on my sweatshirt today. And I thought, I remember that time. I went and brought a sweatshirt down there because Bob Richards was getting chilly. And I brought him down. I had a few extra sweatshirts around, you know.
Those times are gone, I think.
These are like election night memories. By the way, today at the polls, you know, people are off. I've been curious as to what the voter turnout was going to be. I'm still curious because we don't really know.
Did you make the rounds beside your own?
I went to several precincts today to sort of see activity. You know, maybe you'd see a person or two holding signs promoting a candidate. It wasn't that hot and heavy. When I voted this earlier today, because I voted in person in Ward 6, Precinct 1, the counter was only up to about 400, which for three ballot cards, you know, ballot questions, school committee, city council, that meant that, you know, unless I was misreading it, it was really 150 or so people had voted by then, which isn't very many.
So it's not by the person, it's by each ballot?
Number of cards, now, on the other hand, as many of people have pointed out, people had options this year. They could vote early.
Yes.
So there were 6 days of early voting.
Yeah.
So many of the people who would normally have been had shown up by that time perhaps have already voted.
Yeah.
There was mail-in voting.
Right.
Some done by mail and some dropped in drop boxes.
Right.
Now,
that's what I did.
I spoke with a couple of election commissioners and about early voting, and the numbers weren't very big. For early voting. And even when they were emptying out the drop boxes with ballots, they weren't really all that stuff. Now, today, I think you were telling me that there was one down in Ward 5 at the Morris School where it seemed to be kind of stuffed with ballots.
Well, it could have been something got caught in it. Who knows?
That's possible too. But, you know, so, you know, I had heard before the election season was really getting underway from a paid consultant to one of the campaigns saying, like, we're fully expecting that the voter turnout will go up by a third. You know, in other words, we had
have to be pretty high because it wasn't pretty high. 2018?
Well, I didn't think that was going to happen, but, you know, the paid consultants seemed to think it. You know, I figure if we were at 21,000 the last couple of cycles, I thought it could go up, it could go down, it could be stay around the same. I sort of thought it would stay more or less in that ballpark. I have no idea whether it's going to go up or down. I don't think it's going to shoot through the moon.
About it. This is the first municipal election held where there were no in-person forums. There was a lot of people knocking on doors, I guess, but it was very different than it really was a different animal. So it'll be interesting to see what transpires from that.
Yeah, and actually along those lines of that topic, you know, because I maintain these Cambridge candidate pages every 2 years, and I wasn't the only one who was doing it, by the way. There were Harvard Crimson CCTV. Actually put together a nice spread. CCTV was putting up little videos and snippets. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody who could do a little bit of something was trying to do something.
There's no excuse not to have information.
Right.
Out there. Yeah.
But, you know, one of the sort of go-to places had for a lot of people, because they they come to me all the time and they say it.
Yeah.
With these Cambridge candidate pages that I've been putting up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's been kind of interesting to see what's been happening.
Yeah,
and
I want to show that. Yeah.
Yeah. It actually happens every, you know, every 2 years I take a look at it and I sort of know how what the patterns are. So what I have here is a table that's just indicating over the last week or so on specific dates, how many people went to unique people went to the, because some people may go multiple times in a day, but unique people went to the Cambridge candidate pages on each of the days. And what you see happening is, you know, like a week ago, it's like 700 some odd people, 800, 800, et cetera. But then come Sunday, October 31st, it jumps up to almost 1,100 people. Yeah. Yesterday, 3,124. Yeah. And so far, as of, a half hour ago or 40 minutes ago, it was up to 4,339 today.
Just
today.
Really leaving it to the last minute. Don't you think?
But that's the point I was trying to make is that many voters really do. They, even if they've decided who their number one vote might be, they haven't really thought too much about all the other choices. So they want to find out. So they'll go to the candidate pages to find out about that. But, you know, so yesterday there were over 42,000 individual candidate pages were checked out. Today it's it's going to be easily over 31,000. Just today, and it'll keep going that way all the way until even after the, after when they're heading home, they go, well, I don't know, maybe I should have voted for her. What was this guy about? But it's too late by then, it's always been, it's been interesting and a little bit gratifying to know that, you know, if you put effort into doing something like the candidate pages, that when you actually see how many people are using them.
What about, I didn't look too closely. Did you put anything on the ballot questions that they could look at? That you could count or no?
No, I can't do that because I'm not putting up anything. That we'll find out with the voter turnout, about that. You know, I mean, I suppose I could have put it in a place where I was counting hits of people checking out the ballot, but
had the information there. It just
people are finding it out from the stuff that was mailed citywide.
There's
a variety of ways.
Vote yes because they won't.
I'm inclined to believe, there's this sort of propagandistic viewpoint that somehow this is a great step forward in democracy.
Get rid of the city manager, all the things they can't do, which they could have done, all that stuff.
But there is a bit of a trend that's going on. I actually got a phone call today, actually a direct message, and I call back one of the, I guess it's a selectman of a town of Brookline.
Yeah.
We talk every once in a while about, even Boston. I didn't know that there was a ballot question in Boston to change. There are several, but one in particular is about getting an elected school committee.
Yes.
That's the one I was focusing on, but perhaps the more impactful one.
Oh yeah.
Is ballot question number one in Boston, which would basically give the relatively weak Boston City Council line item veto over items in the budget prepared for the mayor. So what you see there is sort of analogous to Cambridge. What you have are Boston city councilors wanting to take more control back from the executive.
But wait a minute, don't they? I mean, in Cambridge, we go over budget things. And remember when
I'm not saying we have the same system there. But
but you're saying they never had that in Boston? They couldn't do that?
I don't know what the system was, but I do know that this is basically an effort to
have more control.
Get more control over where the expenditures or whatever.
Because they have a mayor. They have an elected mayor.
They have an elected mayor, whereas we have a very different system.
Yeah.
We have an extraordinarily different system where we elect councilors and then they put a manager in place with
the executive authority. They hire and fire and can evaluate. People forget that. They didn't come out of the blue.
That's right. I mean, as we've talked about before, there are three ballot questions. Ballot questions 2 and 3 in Cambridge basically want to put in the charter to give authority to the city council for things that they have always had authority to do.
Yeah.
They could always have required an evaluation, an annual evaluation of the manager, and they could have always initiated a review of the charter.
Right.
You know, to me, the fact that they've generally chosen not to do it basically says that they were pretty okay with it. By the way, if some people, I know there are some candidates are mistakenly saying that they've never done evaluations of the manager in the past, and that's just false.
Really?
I remember being a part of one of those very, very extensive public evaluation processes back when Bob Healy was city manager back in the early 1990s. It became a big, big circus of an event.
I seem to remember that. Was there some dissatisfaction with the way?
What was happening at the time is the Cambridge Civic Association was looking for a means via which they could get rid of of Bob Healy as city manager to install somebody who of their choosing.
Really?
The difficulty was is that the city manager was doing a pretty damn good job by all accounts. And a lot of people came rushing to his aid in his defense, including me, I might add. Mm-hmm. But that's really what they was all about. Let's have a big evaluation of the manager as a mechanism we can use to get rid of them. It backfired. In the end, even the Civic Association evaluation wasn't half bad.
Was there any talk about, well, we really want a mayor, we don't want a city manager? Was it just saying we just want a different city manager?
That topic of having is not on the table right now, but
no, I know, but it's but you can see where
mark,
people want to
mark
go that
my
way.
Words.
Yes, you know, it'll be in there. Yeah,
if you because I do occasionally read some of what the candidates send me, for the candidate pages. I don't always. Sometimes I just spell check it, and move and pass it through.
No,
right?
But don't you want to see if there's anything inflammatory?
And for the first time ever, there was one thing where I actually finally said after. I think for the first time in maybe 16 years, I said no to somebody.
Wow.
You know, because I was not, I'd refuse to stoke the flames of anything anymore.
Yes.
You know, I mean, if I want to say something of my own words, I'll do it, but I'm not feeding anybody else's fires.
Right.
I won't do it. Right. Right? But, when I was reading that, it said, well, I'm looking forward to getting a more democratic system where we can actually have our own elected mayor. And there are some candidates, some incumbents who are openly want to pretty much trash the entire charter, and then, they're making no bones about it. And they all say it all in the name of democracy, right? I have to laugh even in the midst of my cringing at all of this the truth is that in their systems like that, like for example, in Somerville, they have we choose the mayor, right?
Right. 20 years. Has he been the mayor for 20 years or 18 years?
It might
years?
Be that, yeah. But if you're in tight with the mayor, you're good to go. If you're not in with the mayor, you're screwed.
Get it. That's right.
You know, whereas under our system, the manager is accountable to the full city council. And for the most part, I mean, sure, if you have a faction of complete idiots within the city council, which perhaps we do, then the manager could just blow off a few city councilors if he knew he always had 5 votes, So yeah, you could do that, but the point is you do have to maintain, a 5 vote consensus minimum, before the manager is really going to go run off. The manager can't just initiate something on his or her own. Mm-hmm. It still has to be done with the advice and consent of the policymakers. Mm-hmm. In spite of the nonsense that some city councils sort of spew as if to suggest that's not the case, the manager has always been accountable to the council and continues to be so. Sometimes I wish he was less so, honestly. Right. In other words, if they're engaging just in puffery, because of some controversy, I would certainly hope the manager would sort of let the wave pass before actually taking action and cooler heads prevail.
Well, I was thinking if the ballot won about boards and commissions, this city council is got to hire a city manager this year. I believe they hire the city clerk too, right?
They hire 3 people. Technically three.
But the city clerk is leaving in June, and the manager's leaving. So now that's a lot. And now the boards and commissions are going to deal with all those appointments, and they can't even, please. And then curb cuts, let's throw in curb cuts.
You know, I was speaking to one of the department heads the other day who acknowledged says the real problem with boards and commissions is the fact that we always say we're looking for applicants.
Right. You know,
the difficulty in terms of representativeness and really everything else is that it's not the biggest, deepest pool of candidates from which.
Then you would be arguing for what a lot of counselors say is we should pay people. I just feel like that's not the answer.
I don't think it's the answer.
To some, I do think some, they're not all alike. Not
to
all
whatever degree, I mean, I don't know that I've ever heard anybody on the planning board ever argue about their desire to be paid,
really?
or the sense that, well, why am I doing this for nothing? They do it out of a sense of
right. But they have the time and they have the and but the thing is, you do have to have the time. I don't think you have to. If you really want to do that, you do it.
I've always looked at this, and even looked at this, in terms of supposed conflicts of interest mm-hmm. that one might have if you're working at a job, but you're also doing something else.
Right.
It's sort of, are you dedicating? I mean, I had to deal with that just in the academic world,
Yeah.
The truth of the matter is, if you're a parent with children who takes your kid to soccer, and does youth sports with your kid, well, let's say, just be kind, just say once a week, you dedicate 3 or 4 hours to go and do it with your kid. That's comparable to working in, one of the more intense boards and commission appointments.
One of the more, but most of them are not that. Most of them, in other words, once you have a month. Yeah.
Right. But just like a parent going and taking their kids to soccer, if it's something you actually like, if you get something out of it, you probably don't mind doing this. That, even if you're doing it, several times a month, like the planning board may have to do,
Yeah, I mean, out of all of them, I think the planning board, the zoning, those to me seem very, a lot of
those
work
are the, yeah,
you
I see those
you take
are,
homework home with you. I mean,
yeah,
you
those,
have to look at the, zoning and everything.
Those
else,
are the ones with the most heavy lifting. If you wanted to make a case for compensation or stipends, you could do that. But honestly, I don't think that would change the nature of the job.
No, I agree.
And I don't think that's what people are looking for or need. And I don't think that that's what's dissuading somebody from doing it.
No.
I really don't.
You really want to do it. You make it work and you make some. And they could have some of these meetings where people live. I mean, I just think the interest isn't there. And I think it comes at all income levels. There's some very smart people and educated people in Cambridge that don't even know what's going on in city council. They're just, their interests are elsewhere.
There are some of us who have been trying for decades to promote civic, to kind of re-promote civics as sort of a part of what you do when you're a resident and a citizen within a municipality. It's like, if you're here, it's time to step up, see if you can serve on a board or commission. Or honestly, never mind that. Yeah. I mean, just even, do volunteer work at your church or just
attend it. I mean,
especially
with Zoom the way it's been, it's like, all right, yes, you need internet access.
Right.
A lot of people can participate now.
Yeah. I mean, there are a lot of people when they live, no matter where they live, they view it almost as though they're just a consumer. You show up, I paid my taxes, where's my services, and that's it. And that's not really how cities and towns function.
No, but you have to have a committed populace, though. You have to have people that are going to live
right.
here for a while.
I mean, I always run into this discussion when it comes to, when there's a big storm coming and Public Works puts out the word and says, could you help keep the storm drains clear?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I go, I'm on it. I'm out there with my rake, and I've encouraged other people to do it. And I occasionally do see people out there now doing and helping out, because that's part of what you do when you live with neighbors in a city, is you help out, And I think that's really why people serve to be on the library board of trustees. That's why people choose to be on recycling advisory committees and on pedestrian advisory committees and bike committees, et cetera, because they recognize this is what you do when you actually live in a place, It's not about the compensation. I mean, if that maybe is a dissuasion from for based on economics or something, that somebody, you know, couldn't afford to have the time.
Well, maybe they could pay for childcare. Maybe they could pay for someone to, you know.
All good ideas.
Yeah. And that's different than just, yeah.
Yeah. Providing supports like that, I think, okay, those are good ideas worth looking into, you know, but if you think it's like everything you do as a civic person is requires compensation, you've already missed the point. Yeah. I think that's the way I've always looked at it.
If you have a passion about something, you're going to do it. And
exactly,
you know,
yeah.
But people don't agree with us. So.
Right. So, by the way, there was one thing last week, because we ran into a bit of a glitch, I think, here when we were doing the broadcast. You had taken this photo of this beautiful park down Tim Toomey Park in East Cambridge.
I know.
And I just wanted, you know, if people haven't already seen it, what a beautiful, beautiful work this was.
And you can't even see all the playground structures beyond that hill.
Exactly. And that hill actually covers a garage or a space where is actually a utility.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. And furthermore, the slope of the park is such that helps drain rainwater into underground storage tanks for stormwater retention. I mean, if the city does one thing extraordinarily well,
it's thinking of
a multi-functioning, multi-purpose design work for things like parks. So they're often putting in stormwater systems, you know, and as you, I think we both pointed out, this is going to be a great place to just take a sled.
I know, where the kids walking out. I know, it's really, it's quite nice. I really liked it.
Yeah. So yeah. Anyway, I just sort of thought that would be kind of a good thing to mention here. By the way, actually, one other thing I'll say again, not to stoke controversies here, but I'm going to kind of flip back here a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, there was a controversy that we certainly don't need to get into about this housing.
Oh, I watched that today, by the way. That was very impressive.
Yeah, there's a housing project that was proposed up at Walden in Mass Ave that was certainly the subject.
Well, the Housing Authority, they own the property.
Right. Yeah. So this is one of the projects. This is the one at Walden Square Apartments. Mm-hmm. People know the Yerxa Road underpass.
Right.
It's in the vicinity of that. And, you know, no matter how one feels about affordable housing overlays or what should happen or densification or whatever, I thought this was, if you're going to produce a video to make a point about some sort of hot civic topic, this fellow Federico Muchnick, who put this together, just did a pretty good job. Yes, there's a little bit of political.
Yeah, but it all made sense.
I wasn't aware of just what an imposing thing was actually.
I wasn't either when I first heard about it.
Yeah, so I thought it was impressive. But when I saw the name, because this he did the one for Walden and Mass Ave. This is Walden Square Apartment, which has nothing to do with Walden Street. And I remember the name because some years ago, he'd actually put together this really marvelous video. That was about the Reed Block controversy, which led to the demise of the old Tasty in Harvard Square.
Oh, interesting.
So same producer made this video back then.
And I didn't know that.
I have a particular, this is about a 33.
That's a half hour one. Yeah.
But it's really a nice thing with a lot of human interest elements of it, you know, including, you know, Charlie Coney, who was like the main chef, is also my friend, Mike Smith, who was also worked at the Tasty after the Tasty closed. I actually hired Mike to work on my house. I actually hired several people from the Tasty to work at my house because they needed work and they were friends and nice people, you know. But that was a really nice piece of work. And I actually watched the whole thing about the Tasty again.
Ago. That same person did one.
Same
on
person
Walden,
made the videos.
No, Walden Mass Ave.
There was a video at Walden Mass Ave was also
2072 Mass Ave, that one.
Yes. And then this one here was the Walden Square one. But he also made that one on the Tasty and the Reed Block. It was a very nice story.
Is he
very
a
insightful.
Resident? I mean, people seem
I think so. I don't actually know him. But I just think, you know, listen, if you're gonna do a medium like video to kind of try and make a point, do it that way. I mean, it's a really it's kind of a great way to actually.
I mean, it was a campaign thing.
Well, I mean, it does serve that.
But it served that purpose, but it was really good information.
Right, but let's be clear. Let's be clear. Multiple political slates and things have actually been latching on to controversial topics, like the one at Walden and Mass Ave. I think the was it the ABC group was sort of made that kind of of their questions for candidates. Yep. If you support this, then you're with us. If you didn't support it, you're against us. You know, so they're using, it's almost like, you know, the entire political year is basically being, at least some people are trying to center it around
development and affordable.
The one thing, the project, one project at Mass Ave, or about bike lanes in North Cambridge is becoming a big flashpoint.
Oh, yeah.
You know, or a couple of other items that are honestly not worth mentioning here that sort of should be somehow the defining events of the year. You know, it sometimes makes me wonder, you know, I put together candidate pages, I always put together for the candidates, say, here's a list of topics that I think a counselor or a school committee member would be addressing. And some of them are really good about going point for point through them. And I say, I'm grateful for that. But other ones basically just throw out the list and say, no, I can score political points based on emotionality and just targeting other things. And then they it's almost like they ignore what the job of a city councilor or a school committee member is in favor of, you know, just trying to score as many political points in as loud and as weird a way as possible. I don't maybe it helps get you elected, you know, but I don't see, I just think as a service to voters, you'd want your candidates to at least address the actual job they're trying to get elected to serve in, you know.
Well, so. it's they're all, I mean, not just Cambridge, I mean, the whole country, the way we run things now.
Yeah, definitely. So
all right, so we just have half a minute left about so
we could talk a little bit more about you know, some of the sites and whatever and maybe a little
bit Chronicle, you know, the loss
and I definitely have something to say about that, you
okay
know,
good
with you know, the out the now ex-editor of the Cambridge Chronicle was Amy Saltzman, because she and I spoke at length several weeks ago before the announcements
out. Oh, so, I'd like to hear about that.
So she's a very good person, and I honestly she has great wisdom, you know.
I didn't know she's the only one writing.
So, all right, so we'll be back in a few minutes
in the next segment in
Cambridge Inside Out.